It is the fourth and final hour of First Up for the week. It's Friday morning. I am Aaron Koronik. That is Carlo Koliakovo. We'll welcome Josh Lundberg, our Raptors reporter. Sup? It's good.
Sup.
In just a moment, love talking to J-Lu about the Raps. We've got a big game tomorrow afternoon, actually, a 5 o'clock start against Luka Doncic and the Dallas Mavericks. But just to go back to what we were talking about with Frankie Corrado, who has a 437 number, which is something that's brand new for Frank. A text coming in, Corrado, dump the 437. Get the much better, newer number of 365. Much easier for people to remember. Both my kids have them. 365 area code. Welcome to Toronto.
Wow. Speaking of 365, 365 is a betting account.
It most certainly is.
Did you see that promo that they have during the World Cup? That if you have a wager on a game that finishes 0-0, you get your money back?
Did not see that. I only use FanDuel. I don't know what you're talking about. I didn't realize other betting sites existed.
I'm not promoting using them. I'm just saying that's a big story that's out there.
Yeah, big story. But, you know, whatever. Don't need that. No need Bet365. All you need is FanDuel. We love FanDuel. And shout out to them.
Good thing I brought up a story.
Yeah, it's true. Great story. And yeah, there's a lot of people texting in about this Corrado phone number, 437. We'll get to those in just a moment. Is J-Lu on the line? Yes.
There he is.
All right, fantastic. Josh Lundberg, our Raptors reporter, a regular of sorts on Friday mornings. What's up, buddy? How are you?
Sup, guys.
Sup, buddy.
So what's the latest in the Lewenberg world? I mean, the Toronto Raptors, they have been just savaged with injury seemingly all season, Josh. And I mean, I don't even know what the plan is going forward here. If guys continue to fall off the face of the earth, it does sound like some reinforcements could be on the way. These aren't significant injuries, significant absences. But what can you tell us with the latest on Van Vliet and Barnes and Siakam, Achiuwa, and so on?
Yeah, well, it seems like the Siakam news is good in that he's been back in practice the last week or so doing non-contact work, and they're hoping that he'll be clear for contact today. So we should find out more in the next few hours. The Raptors are scheduled to practice at 11 a.m. Assuming that goes according to plan, they're targeting a return sometime next week for Siakam. But, I mean, it really does seem like right now, even good news comes at a cost, right? Because Siakam's nearing his return. You get Gary Trent Jr. back and Chris Boucher back from his illness. But then Scotty Barnes goes down, and not with the ankle injury that I think a lot of us have been keeping an eye on over the last few weeks. He's tweaked it a bunch. But now with a knee injury, and then, of course, Fred VanVleet was a surprise before the game the other day. We know that he's been dealing with an illness that kept him out of a couple games last week. But then he came back for a couple of games, and now he's out again. That illness, guys, is spreading. It's non-COVID, we're told, but it's spreading around the organization. A bunch of guys have dealt with it here. I was in the locker room the other day very, very briefly and, like, holding my breath. I was wearing my mask because, yeah, I mean, it just seems like they can't catch a break right now. It's one thing after another.
Yeah, well, whatever he's caught, it seems like it's going everywhere. For the last month, it's just been everybody you talk to. Yeah, I'm dealing with this. Yeah, I'm dealing with that. AK was dealing with something last week. You just hope that we can find a way to get through all this and enjoy the holiday season. But you mentioned the name Gary Trent. How did you think he responded after some of the criticism? I wouldn't say some of the criticism. After Nick Nurse shared some comments about him and his defensive game so far this season, how do you think he responded last game with that?
He wasn't great, Carlo. I mean, he's mired in this shooting slump. He was 1 for 8 from 3 the other night. So if my math is correct, he's now 1 for his last 17. But we know that the spotlight is on him defensively more than anything else. As much as he struggled offensively, that was the nature of the Nick Nurse comments the other day that stood out so much, is that they are looking to get him back to where he was last year defensively when he was one of the peskier defenders in the league, fourth in deflections in the NBA, fifth in steals, and those numbers are down this year. But I think more than anything else, the eye test tells the same story, right, is that he just hasn't been the same guy defensively, not as active, not as engaged. And it's interesting because, I mean, obviously the sentence that stood out to me and a lot of people from Nurse's comments the other day is, if he's not going to be that guy, if he's not going to be that disruptor on defense, then he doesn't fit. And, I mean, I took those words as strong as they were, literally, in that, like, we know that this team is defense first, right? Like, they, everyone always asks, why don't they go out and get a traditional big man? Why don't they go out and get another point guard or another shooter? And they've made it very clear that, like, while those things, sure, they value them, but not at the expense of the defense. So unless they can find, I'll use the example of a shooter, unless they can find a shooter that does all the things defensively that they're looking to do, they're not going to do it, right? Like, their defense is only as good as the weakest guy on the floor. And when somebody's out there that's not engaged or locked in, that guy stands out. And especially if that guy isn't 6'9 with a 7-foot wingspan that fits in with like 80% of the team, those guards have to really be guarding. Like, look at Fred VanVleet. He makes up for his lack of size and length with his activity. And for a lot of last year, Trent did that as well. But if he's not doing those things, then I'm not sure that he's a long-term fit on this team. And that's where the timing of all of this is interesting, because he can opt out of his contract after this season and become a free agent during the summer. That's the expectation in today's cap world, where the salary cap continues to go up. We've seen all the crazy deals that are being signed around the league. And Trent, he's only going to be 24 this summer. He is a great three-point shooter. So I think at minimum, he's probably looking at a deal in the neighborhood of $100 million over 4 years, something like that. So it's a question then of whether the Raptors are going to be the team to give it to him. So that's why I think these next few months leading up to the February trade deadline are going to be really, really important. One, for Trent to show that he can be that guy and that he can be better than that guy, but also for the Raptors to evaluate whether or not he is a long-term fit at that cost. I still think he's hurt and maybe sick as well, so that probably played into it the other night. And Nurse noted that as well, too, is that injuries have probably been a factor here. So I think they're hoping that a little bit of time off over the last few weeks, missing a few games with the injury and now the illness, will help him get back on track. But guys, he needs to get back on track, and pretty soon here, too, especially with all those other guys out.
Our guest is Josh Lewenberg, TSN's Raptors reporter. J-Lew, you will be at Scotiabank Arena tomorrow afternoon when the Dallas Mavericks come to town. And I was having this debate with some buddies yesterday about who the most exciting player to watch is. Like, if you could go to one Raptors game this year to see one player, who is it? And I think Steph Curry has to be number one on that list, but I think there's a pretty compelling argument to be made that Luka Doncic would be number two. Now, I'm going to give you my personal power rankings. We can go around the table. I have Curry at one. I have Doncic at two. Then I have LeBron at three, Zion Williamson at four. I also have Giannis in there, and maybe Kawhi Leonard if he ever stepped foot on a basketball court again. But J-Lew, you've seen a lot of hoops at Scotiabank Arena. Is it Steph Curry number one for you? Where does Doncic rank?
I can't believe Ja Morant didn't break your
top. Ooh, Ja Morant's a good one, too. Ja Morant's a good one, too.
Shea, come on.
Yeah, Shea's good.
Yeah. You know what? I would veer more towards some of those younger guys, because as great as Steph is and Giannis and LeBron, like, we've seen those guys a lot over the years, and those are always going to be big tickets whenever those guys come to town. But especially those Western Conference stars, and we talked about a few of them: Ja Morant, Luka Doncic, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Like, they don't come to town very often, and they haven't been in the league very much, or very long, I should say. And in the case of, like, Shai is a good one. He's missed a lot of time. He's missed a few trips here too, because of injuries and the load management and all of that. So the league is in good hands. There are some great young stars in this game right now. I'm looking forward to seeing a lot of those guys. And yeah, Luka is always fun. Dallas is a really intriguing young team in the West. So that should be a fun one. And I like these 5 o'clock starts. I don't know.
Me too. Should we? I'm actually coming to the game, Josh, tomorrow. Maybe, you know, a locker room tour for me and the boys. What do you think?
Hold
can you help arrange that?
Hold your breath in there.
Wear your mask.
Good point. Yeah, I don't have a mask, so you don't have to worry about that. Go ahead.
J-Lo, I want to continue with this Luka Doncic thing, because I'm not sure if I asked you or somebody else, but for as great as Luka Doncic is, why isn't he a guy that star free agents want to go play with? Because he's been in Dallas for the last couple seasons. He's sort of been the breakout player of the NBA, the guy that, you know, as dominant as he is. But we don't hear any of these, like, we don't hear as Dallas as a landing spot to go play with Luka Doncic. Why is that?
That's a really good question, Carlo. And, like, probably, I don't know, I've got to think about that one. I will also see how things play out over the coming years, because I do think he's still young. And there's still time, I think, for players to go over there and to join what they're building in Dallas. Because, like, I mean, even a couple of years ago, I think they were still rebuilding. This is now a team that's really starting to, I think, consider itself a championship contender. And Dallas, I think, over the years, I mean, listen, it's not for a lack of effort when it comes to Mark Cuban going after guys. Like, that's been a team for a while now that's been in the mix with all of these big-name free agents. You always hear Dallas is after this guy, Dallas is after that guy. But yet, it's been a long time since they've gone out and landed the big fish. I can't even think of the last major free agent that they signed. So it will be interesting, I think, to see if maybe it starts to come around over the next few years. But, like, yeah, Luka's a guy. Why wouldn't you want to go play with this guy? As great as he is individually, like, he's one of the best playmaking guards, one of the most fun guys to play with in the NBA. I would imagine they'd be pretty high on the list of teams. Hey, we know Goran Dragic wanted to go there. I'm not sure if he's the type of player that you're referring to, though.
Maybe 15 years ago. Years ago for Dragic. But yeah, it is weird. And you think about Dallas. I mean, Doncic is outstanding, like having a remarkable statistical
season.
They
beat Phoenix last year. They went to the conference finals.
Yeah, they were in the Western Conference final. Like Christian Wood and Dwight Powell, friend of the show, Dorian Finney-Smith. I mean, it's not like a litany of recognizable names. It's just the power of Doncic and how dominant he is. The Raptors are going to have
and
their
who's,
hands
And who's tomorrow. The guy that left for New York this offseason?
Brunson, Jalen Brunson.
Yeah, Jalen Brunson. Yeah. Like, he leaves. It's like, what's going on? Well, like, how does nobody want to go play with Doncic?
Tatum, I would leave too.
No, no kidding.
Good point, Josh. Good point. Have a fantastic weekend. I'll be looking up to the Raptors to see your handsome face tomorrow when I'm down there at Scotiabank Arena. Josh, keep up the great work, buddy. Have a great weekend.
All right, guys. Take care.
See you, pal.
That's Josh Lewenberg, TSN Raptors reporter. And he is spot on with regards to the 5 p.m. start. Perfect for a boys' night out.
Yeah,
head
no
down
kidding,
there,
man.
Go to the game, probably done at 7:30, head out for dinner, maybe a couple of adult beverages, see where the night takes you. That's my plan tomorrow. You want to come? We can get a ticket for you.
No, I don't want to come.
All right, that's very hurtful. Now you couldn't even make up an excuse about something you have going on?
I got tons going on, man. Tons going on this weekend.
Okay. That's very detailed. Thank you for that. I appreciate
it. Well, hey, it's starting to prepare for the holidays, dude. And you're a family guy. You got kids.
You are a family guy. You are a regular Peter Griffin, no doubt. Actually, on the subject of the holidays, there is a rumbling around the TSN headquarters that there could be a TSN holiday party in the offing. And that's big news.
Really?
That's been off for a couple of years for obvious reasons, but I have been told that it could be back this year.
When are they going to let us know? Like a week before they actually?
No, we're working on it. We're working on it behind the scenes. If there is a TSN holiday party, will you be in attendance for it?
Depending on the night, yes.
There is the odds on you attending this holiday party are about zero. About zero.
No,
but
not
you'd
really.
You'd be the star of the show, buddy.
Here's what's going to be the deciding factor if I attend. One, the day of the week that it is.
Okay.
And two, whether it's downtown or not.
Oh, it's definitely going to be downtown.
Okay, then I'm not coming. No chance.
Okay, that's too bad.
No chance.
Okay, you know what? We're going to do the party in Oakville. That's where we're going to do it.
We don't have to do the party in Oakville, but we could do it at, you know, Yorkdale or somewhere in that area. I don't know.
I guess
Queensway,
there
Etobicoke,
have been,
Woodbridge. Yeah. Like,
there have been some epic TSN 1050 holiday parties back in the day. I remember once we went out, had ourselves a time, and I was in a, I guess probably a taxi at the time with Matthew Cause and Christoph Mamona, one of our technical producers here at TSN Radio. Let's just say Cause had had a couple too many. Tried to get out of a moving vehicle on King Street.
Caused it?
Yes. And I had to pull him back in. We're going like 35 kilometers an hour. He just opens the door and like, I'm like, what are you doing? Rip him back in. I saved Matthew Cause's life. So you're welcome, Matthew. Hope you're enjoying Mexico. Yeah. Spiro Ditas will join us in 15 minutes. We'll talk about a wild day in the NFL. Three great games, and there's a lot of serious playoff implications this weekend, and some massive favorites on the board. We'll get into all those stories and more with Spiro Ditas in 15 minutes. More of the fourth hour first up, coming up next. We'll talk some NFL with Spiro Ditas in about 10 minutes' time. A wild game yesterday between the Minnesota Vikings and the New England Patriots. I don't think anyone saw a 32-26 final score coming for either side, considering the over-under on that game was 42.5. But both Minnesota and New England were very efficient offensively. And we'll talk about that with Spear, of course, the first game of the day between Buffalo and Detroit and the Giants and the Dallas Cowboys. And those two games, Carlo, could have very well factored into the first up survivor pool where just 15 teams remain. 15 entries remain eligible to win the free set of Rodex tires with free installation at your local Cal Tire plus $2,500 cash. I'm actually just realizing now I have not heard from the guy I brought my car into like 3 days ago. I have no idea
what the deal was
with my car.
Stolen.
Has my car been taken? I don't know. Yeah,
it's been
which would really
on
suck.
A container. Gone.
Which would really suck because I have Rodex tires on that thing, and I am moving and shaking like Kyle Larson on a NASCAR track with those things on there. But
nice.
15 entries remain in the first up survivor pool.
Getting down to the nitty gritty.
And I don't know if anyone used the Dallas Cowboys. I'm going to guess probably somebody did, and maybe even the Buffalo Bills. And, man, that was a sweat of a game because there were many instances, including down the stretch there, where I thought Detroit was going to win. And some of the timeout handling, the play calling from Dan Campbell and the Lions, I mean, geez, that was a game they could have easily won. And that play call on third and one where they bombed it out to DJ Chark in the right corner near the end zone, a questionable play, to say the least, especially with three timeouts. And fortunately for you and for the Buffalo Bills, Coco, they emerge with a win, now 8-3.
Yeah, and look, that's been the struggle of the Lions as they try to push through their years of irrelevancy in the NFL and, you know, try to become a winning football team. It's those mistakes. And even early on in the season, like, they find themselves in a lot of games, just they can't close. And I think that's the difference between winning and losing in the NFL, which what the Buffalo Bills showed you yesterday, their ability to close. I mean, 25 seconds left on the clock, Josh Allen leads them into field goal range, and they hit a game-winning field goal. And it was a great game, a really great game. I think it was a great day of football. You know, the Cowboys and the Giants game got a little boring there at the end because Dallas started to push away. But, you know, the Giants showed some little bit of fight there early on. But they're just so decimated. The fact that they even kept that game close was a miracle.
Well, they really didn't. I mean, they were down 18.
They led it to half, right?
Yeah, they did lead it to half. It's true. And then Dallas's offense got cooking. CeeDee Lamb was outstanding in the second half. Shout out to him. Over 73.5.
Remember, it was a 14-13 game for the Cowboys. And the Giants decide to go for it on fourth and one on their own side of the 50. And Saquon Barkley can't come down with the catch. And next thing you know, they, instead of punting the ball and keeping it a defensive game and playing field position, Dallas gets a stop. They go right down and score. And the Giants lose all the momentum in the game. Like, that's how crazy, you know, plays like that can shift the momentum of the game. And it did that for the Cowboys.
Some big favorites on the board this weekend. The Kansas City Chiefs are 15.5-point favorites hosting
the
Chiefs, LA Rams.
The Chiefs.
Or you could use the game being called by our next guest, Spiro Ditas. The Miami Dolphins hosting the Houston Texans. Have you seen the point spread in that game?
I think it's what, 9.5?
14.
Wow.
14 points. I will be using the Dolphins in my Steve Simmons Survivor Pool, so shout out to Tua and the boys. And we'll welcome in Spiro Dinas to First Up on the other side. Back on First Up, Kurolnik and Koliakovo with you, our fourth and final hour of the day, fourth and final hour of the week as well on the show. We'll welcome in Spiro Dinas from CBS Sports, from Westwood One, in just a moment. And I came across this piece of information, which I found to be very interesting. And do you remember in the NFL preseason, Carlo, when we talked about the Deshaun Watson story almost every day? And rightfully so, it was Cleveland Browns traded for him. They give him this massive guaranteed contract. And then it was, will he be suspended? And then it was, how long will he be suspended? Well, he ended up getting suspended for 12 games. And the suspension is up next week when the Cleveland Browns play the Houston Texans. And it's a game that Spiro Dinas, again, who will join us in just a second, will actually be on the call for. But it's interesting that we've kind of forgotten about Deshaun Watson, how great he was. But I don't really know what to expect from him, considering not only this season, like not playing at all.
He hasn't played in two years.
He didn't play last year either. Yeah. So for Cleveland, a team that has been pretty junk, they're 3-7. Their defense sucks. I mean, beyond Nick Chubb, there's not many redeeming qualities about that team. Can Deshaun Watson pull some rabbit out of the hat and make them perhaps a viable playoff contender in the AFC? Unlikely, but I am intrigued to see what he's got left in the tank. I mean, I think he's 25 or 26 years old, but again, a two-year layoff for a quarterback, that's not going to be an easy thing to overcome.
No, it's definitely not. It's exciting for, you know, Deshaun Watson, because you remember him for how great he was in his years in Houston, but what can you really expect with him after having 2 years off? And does it change the Cleveland Browns outcome? I don't think so. I think Jacoby Brissett has done a pretty good job, you know, filling in at quarterback position. Their defense can't make a stop. They can't make a big play for that team to help them get a win, and that's why they're having the season that they're having.
Yeah, Cleveland hosts your Tampa Bay Buccaneers, your favorite NFL team, this weekend. You love Tampa. You're a big fan of Tampa.
No,
you think they're great.
I love Tampa. I just think that they're the team nobody's giving enough credit for.
No. You think they're the best team in the NFC. You've said that.
I do.
You've said that.
Yeah.
And I think that's craziness. I think that's crazy. I think that Cleveland will beat Tampa on Sunday.
Wager?
Well, I mean, I think that they're 4-point dogs.
You just said you think they'll beat them straight up.
So let's give me the spread.
How does that make any sense? You just made a claim to me saying that you think Cleveland's going to beat them, and
I will bet.
I say wager, and you say no. Give me points.
I will bet you.
How does that
one
work?
bowl of soup of Italian wedding soup at the TSN cafeteria. Soup bet.
Soup.
The Browns. My brownies will come up big. Because, you know, they're going to relish their last days without that creep, Deshaun Watson, coming in and hanging out with them in their locker room. So we'll see how that goes. That's one game that I'm be looking forward to this weekend. And as we mentioned before the break, some huge spreads in a couple of games. Kansas City, a 15.5-point favorite, hosting the LA Rams. Man, the Rams, a team.
They're done.
Talk about being done. Like, just completely finished. Yeah. They're starting a guy named Bryce Perkins at quarterback.
Never heard of him.
No Cooper Kupp. No chance for the
Stafford,
Rams.
Nothing.
And yeah, no Stafford. It's totally over for
another
for
big
Rams.
Spread on the board is the Miami Dolphins, against the Houston Texans. And joining us right now on the line, AK,
our man Spiro Dinas, one of my favorite broadcasters, and I'm not just saying that. I don't often say this, but Spiro Dinas is one of my favorite guys, a play-by-play voice for CBS Sports and Westwood One, and he is in the call for the Dolphins and the Texans. Probably the only redeeming quality about that game is Spiro Dinas. What's going on, Spiro?
The only time I agree to do interviews is when the host gives me that kind of an intro.
That's true, buddy. It's true. I hate most of our guests, but I love you. go ahead, Carlo.
Man.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
So you're doing the game this weekend, Miami versus Houston. Obviously, Miami's been a great story this year in the NFL, largely in part because of, you know, the offense behind Tua and their two great wide receivers in Waddle and Hill. But what's your scouting report been for this game?
Well, obviously, Houston's in a really bad spot. I mean, there's no way to sugarcoat what's going on with the Texans. Last year, the question was, you know, what's going to happen with Deshaun Watson? How are they going to get themselves out of this? What kind of deal can Nick Caserio, their GM, make to put the franchise back on track? You know, they figured that out, but unfortunately, the quarterback situation is unresolved. And, you know, there was a hope, obviously, that Davis Mills is their answer, at least maybe not long term, but at least in the short term. Unfortunately for them, doesn't appear to be the case. They're going to make a change, I think, this week, according to the reports that we're getting. And Kyle Allen. But,
yeah.
You know, so it's a challenging time, certainly, for the Texans. But if you're a fan of the Dolphins, I mean, this is a resurgence like they haven't seen, you know, maybe since the days of Marino and the Mark brothers, Duper and Clayton. I mean, it's a super fun team to watch. Just amazing what a difference a year makes in terms of the coaching. And I think the biggest part of the story, guys, for the Dolphins is Mike McDaniel. When the hire was made, you know, the casual NFL fan was, you know, they raised some eyebrows, you know, was not a really well-known commodity. Not only had never been a head coach at any level, but only 1 year as a coordinator at the NFL level. So there was an unknown factor with him. But I think that Mike McDaniel is now walking proof that coaching matters. And all you need to do is look at Tua. You know, Tua is the same guy he was last year, but suddenly the scheme and the system and the relationship that he has with his head coach are night and day with what they were under Brian Flores. I mean, their offensive coordinator situation was not good last year, to put it mildly. You know, there was a question who's calling the plays. Tua was clearly not comfortable. I know he's had the injuries that he's dealt with the last couple of years, but, you know, the impact that Mike McDaniel has had on Tagovailoa has been stark, and I think you're seeing the results for the team.
Our guest is Spiro Dedis from CBS Sports and Westwood One. Let's shift our focus to the NFC, and we saw a couple of contenders in the NFC playing yesterday on American Thanksgiving, where the Dallas Cowboys, they beat the Giants. The Minnesota Vikings, a very impressive offensive performance, they beat the Patriots. And we've been having this debate for a couple of weeks, Spiro, as to who is the cream of the crop in the NFC. I think there's a lot of question marks. The Eagles haven't played very well the last couple of weeks. We know the Vikings are very up and down. The San Francisco 49ers started out poorly. They seem to be ascending. And then the personal pick for my colleague here, my co-host, Carlo, he likes the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in the NFC. Is there a team that you think is going to emerge? Well, I guess there will be one eventually, but who do you like in the NFC to ultimately come out on top?
Well, you know, I think the uniqueness and the fun part of this season is that there is no clear dominant team. I think we've seen a number of teams, and you just mentioned it, most of them dominate for stretches and have periods of play where they look like they could be the team that comes out of the conference. But suddenly, there's vulnerabilities with every one of those teams. I mean, we had the Eagles early in the season, and I think for the first 6-7 weeks of the year, I mean, they looked invincible. Jalen Hurts having a similar type year that Tua is having in Miami. You know, the defense looked fierce. Nick Sirianni was pushing all the right buttons, and you thought, wow, maybe this could be the Eagles' year. Suddenly, they look like they're a little bit vulnerable after the loss that they had. Dallas, you know, after the performance yesterday, they're kind of back on top. And you think, boy, you know, this could be a year that the Cowboys have enough and have the horses again to make a serious push into the postseason. But this is the great part of this year, guys. I mean, you could make a case, I think, for any number of teams. You know, the Giants' scoring differential is not great. Same with the Minnesota Vikings. But you look up, and their records are pretty good. I mean, Minnesota right now sitting at 9-2 atop the NFC North, and the Giants, even after that loss yesterday, are 7-4 and are obviously well within striking distance in the NFC East. So I think these next couple of weeks, 3, 4, 5 weeks, we'll have a pretty good idea of which of these teams are going to come out. I think Tampa at this point, boy, I think you're, you know, maybe going out a little bit on a limb making that prediction. But look, to second guess Tom Brady or to put anything past Tom Brady, I think is fool's gold. And we saw them even in their Super Bowl year, right? I mean, they started really poorly and then they turned it on the second half of the season. So yeah, they could very well be capable of making a run here down the stretch as well.
Yeah, 2-0 as a single guy too. Tom Brady is.
Yeah, who knows? That's what he needs to clear his mind.
Right.
That's it.
And that's just a fun stat. When you look at the NFC West, you see the San Francisco 49ers making a late charge, but you also see the Seattle Seahawks be one of the biggest surprise teams of the NFL this year. Who do you think ultimately perseveres in that division? Do you think the Seahawks are for real, or do you think San Fran is starting to turn it on and take over?
You know, I'm a huge Pete Carroll guy. And I just think he obviously has had a legendary run up in Seattle, Super Bowl championship, and you know, teams that contended for so many years. But I think you can put what he is doing with this current group, guys, up there with anything else he's done. Obviously, the Super Bowl season stands alone. But to me, you really see the value of a coach when you don't have the best group of players and you're still able to put a contending team out there. And if Seattle wins that division and makes a run in the postseason, you know, it's just another example of how great this guy is as a coach. You know, the year after they trade Russell, everyone thought and assumed that this would be maybe not a full rebuilding year, but certainly a year where they had to retool the roster and, you know, would need a full season to get things back on track. But to be contending for the division right after making that trade of your franchise player, I just think speaks volumes. San Francisco, you know, Kyle Shanahan, another one of these new age coaches who's just phenomenal, puts guys in a position to win week in and week out, season in and season out. And, you know, San Francisco right up there as well. I mean, they've had their own issues with the quarterback, obviously, with the injuries and, you know, wanting Trey Lance to assume the mantle. That obviously hasn't worked out yet due to injuries, but another fun division. I mean, this is, it seems like we've been saying it for the last couple of years. You know, the parity in the NFL just seems to be getting better and better.
Yeah.
And this is this season, man. It's wild how many teams actually have a chance as we sit here getting ready for, you know, what is this, week 12 of the season.
Yeah. Spiro Ditas, our guest. And Spiro, we've got about a minute left, but I want to get your thoughts on a game you're doing next week. Deshaun Watson's return to Houston. He's been suspended for the first 12 games. I guess he's eligible to start next week. I don't know if I guess he probably will. But what type of reception are you anticipating Watson to get back in Houston for the first time? I guess his first time back in the NFL in almost 2 years.
Yeah, talk about a crazy set of circumstances, man. The football gods, every once in a while, they give us these juicy storylines. I mean, the guy hasn't played in 2 years, and here he comes in his first games in Houston. It's just crazy. I think it's unfortunate that the Texans are not having a great year. I think if they were, that atmosphere in the stadium would just be crazy, and it still may be. But there seems to be an antipathy now with the Texans. You know, the stadium hasn't been too filled. So hopefully next week it'll be fun. Cleveland to me is a surprise team in how much they've struggled, guys. I mean, to think that they're 3-7, you know, to have the defensive issues that they have with the players that they have on that defense has been really surprising to me. Unfortunately, I think Kevin Stefanski is on shaky ground right now. So, you know, who knows? Maybe Deshaun Watson's arrival is the first step to that franchise figuring things out. But I think it's just another example, guys, of the NFL more than any other sport. If you don't have a quarterback, you can have a legit defense, you could have legit offensive weapons, but if you don't figure out that position, you just don't have a chance to compete, at least not consistently. And the Cleveland Browns, you know, it's been an eternal search for a quarterback, and you consider what they gave up to get Deshaun. They paid a real heavy price for this guy, and they have so much committed now to him being that long-term solution. So, you know, I know I've got a lot of buddies in Cleveland. It's been a rough year for them, and Deshaun Watson cannot arrive soon enough. Let's put it that way, and hopefully for their sake, he plays as well as I hope he can.
Spiro, thank you so much for doing this. Have a great call. You're doing the Dolphins and Texans game, and then, yes, the Browns and the Texans. A lot of Houston for Spiro Ditas coming up in the next couple of weeks. Enjoy that. Thanks for this, man.
I'm a connoisseur of Houston Texans football.
Someone has to be. That is Spiro Gidas, CBS Sports and Westwood One. My FanDuel best bets coming up to wrap up today's program and wrap up the week here on First Up. All right, time now for today's best bets brought to you by FanDuel. Bet on all your favorite teams on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. I'm going to take the advice of our producer, Arad Osmandi, and take Saka to score for England, plus 225 on FanDuel. They're taking on the United States. I'm also taking Kirill Kaprizov to score for the Minnesota Wild against the Toronto Maple Leafs. That's plus 118. And finally, my guy, Ben Simmons of the Brooklyn Nets to score 15 points tonight, plus 210. Today's best bets brought to you by FanDuel. Make every moment more and get your winnings fast when you download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. We've got Dump and Chase, also presented by FanDuel, coming your way a little bit later this afternoon. Carlo, you and I, we've been digging deep into the numbers, deep into the analytics. We're ready to rock for that and for the weekend. Any big plans?
No, like I said, I got no big plans. I just have a really, really busy weekend here at home with the kids and with the family, just doing more prep for the Christmas holidays around the house and planning some fun stuff with the kids. So that's about it, buddy.
That sounds very nice. Well, I hope you guys have a fantastic time. Thank you to Luca, who filled in very admirably for 20 Fingers today. Fantastic work, Luca. Thank you very much for your efforts. Thank you to Arad. I am Aaron Kurulnik. That is Carlo Koliakovo. And if you missed any of today's show, or any show, actually, make sure to look at the podcast because all the interviews hours posted there. We will be back with more First Up Monday morning at 6 a.m.